it took me a long time, and I'm still working on boundaries. And I think, you know, women were more prone to, okay, if somebody says, oh, can you do this for me? Yeah, sure. And I've learned ever since I came back here 3 years ago and seeing my friends and how they prioritize their families. And maybe because I was single and I didn't have kids. So if somebody would say, hey, can you do this for me? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But when you're saying yes to somebody else, you're saying no to yourself. Run toward the unknown. When you're riding the big wheel,
you're not alone. Today's guest is Janita Boy. She is a certified wellness coach from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition with a master's in science from the International Health Coach University. She is also a keynote speaker, specializing in guiding women in their 40s through life's transformative transition using holistic wellness. Her personal journey through various life transitions equips her with a deep understanding and empathy, which she channels into empowering others to find clarity, confidence, and a renewed purpose. As a speaker, Janita captivates audiences with her insightful strategies and actionable advice, encouraging everyone to turn midlife challenges into opportunities for growth and renewal. We'll get into some of the practical nuts and bolts of what you can do today to get started or continue on your own health and wellness journey. And today I have with me Janita Boy. So, first of all, did I just say your name properly, Janita?
You did it.
Okay, great.
And I don't, like I mentioned to you before, like how to pronounce my name, but it was funny because when I went to Emory University,
yeah,
I don't know if it was me. I don't know who was the creative person because it was like 20 something years ago. but somebody said, I got it because everybody was like, oh, is it Yanira? No, Janita. Is it Juanita? No, Janita. Is it, I mean, sometimes I felt like a disease, like is it diarrhea? No, Janita, right? And somebody said like, I got it. Like, do you need a beer? Like, Janita beer, get rid of the beer and that's your name. And I'm like, oh my God, that's genius. I don't
that's
know. It might have been me. I don't know.
That's good, Janita. I actually could use one.
Where's the beer here?
I know, right? We actually do have beer here.
I mean, it's happy hour somewhere.
It is. You know? I know. So I am so happy to have you here today. Thank you so much for being a guest. I just thought we could first talk about you and your background, and I just want people to understand a little bit about like what you do today.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get into kind of how you got there.
Okay.
But you are a wellness coach,
mm-hmm,
and a holistic wellness coach.
Yes.
So talk to people about, or talk to me a little about, like, what is a wellness coach?
I have no idea. you know, I believe that a wellness coach, or what I do with women, is to guide them, mm-hmm, to create the life that they deserve using holistic wellness, right? When we think about health, and I do believe I'm a very healthy person. And when you think about health, and when you the World Health Organization, they talk about how health is not just the lack of disease, but also is a complete well-being in like mental, emotional, social, mm-hmm, and physical, right? So when you talk about wellness coaching, you are talking about seeing health in a holistic way, in an integrative way. So for me, it's to guide people. What I do with women is to guide them so they can manage their thoughts, control how they feel, you know, use nutrition, use physical activity so they can integrate and have the life that they deserve. And I really believe that we can all, and we were talking about it before, we can all create an amazing life. But for that, we need to take care of ourselves. And self-love is so important because when you're loving yourself, you take care of your body, you take care of your emotions, you take care of the things that you think about, right?
Yep. Yep. So what is the difference between, you know, everybody talks about integrative medicines, because, mm-hmm, you're certified from the integrative Institute, right?
Yeah, it's the, yes, IIN.
IIN. So what's the difference between like integrative medicine, you kind of described it already, versus traditional medicine, and why should someone be thinking about this?
Like integrative medicine, it doesn't just take into account the Western kind of medicine, right? Which is, okay, do you have a headache? Okay, take a pill for the Tylenol or something for the headache. It goes beyond that. It's like, what is the cause of that? Is it stress? Is it, dehydration, whatever it is. So it's more a patient-centered thing.
Right.
So it integrates Western medicine, the medicine, the doctors that we go to, with who you are. Because as we know, what we think, what we feel has an effect on our health. I think, Michelle, like 90% of our problems or our health-related problems are caused by something that is not physical related, So it goes beyond that. Like maybe, I remember it was 2019 and I was not dealing with personal problems at home with my ex-husband and the kids and everything. So I was not taking care of my emotions. And I got these really bad headaches. And I went from doctor to see what was going on. And nothing was going on. But they were getting me pills because the migraine were very strong.
Yeah.
And I talked to myself in the mirror. And I talked to the headaches. And I said, headaches, I know you're here for a reason. I don't know what it is. But let's work on it together. And I went and I saw an angel therapist.
What's an angel therapist?
Well, she talked to angels.
Okay.
And she would talk to me and we did therapy, right? It's a, holistic kind of medicine as well.
Right.
And the more I talked about it, the more I heal everything that I had. And I never had migraines after that. So,
Wow.
It's amazing what your thoughts and what your emotion can do to your health. So when you work with a wellness coach, it's not only about your physical body, it's about everything. It's about your thoughts, your emotions. It's about your social interaction. It's about, physical. It's about nutrition. And it's about stress, which I love because sometimes I think, and we just talked about this, but, if I have a headache, just taking a pill is not going to cure the headache because you're not going to the root cause of the headache. Maybe the headache is a reaction for my stress. So I'm not dealing with the stress. So what I do with women is I guide them so they can use the tools that are there for them. We just don't know how to use them sometimes.
Yeah.
So we don't know the power of being mindful, of being in the present moment, of doing meditation, of physical activity, like everything, because when we're talking about health, I think it's, 74% is environment and lifestyle.
74% environment and lifestyle.
Yes, and then
wow.
I think, 16% is genetics and 10% medicine. So, I don't know. Like you want to ask a question. You want to talk. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into, we're going to call them the four pillars of holistic health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been touching on them now. So we're going to get deep into each of these. So for our listeners, there's your physical fitness.
Yeah.
We'll hit on each one of these. Nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Mental fitness that you put into three different areas. So, and you've talked about them already a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional, social, and spiritual. I'm going to put that angel person in the spiritual myself. And then financial, which I found really incredible. Because I think about physical, when I think about wellness, I think about, my physical health and I think about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, mental wellness, mental fitness, which my children will argue whether I have mental fitness or not. But anyway, we'll see.
I want to know why they argue. I want to know.
Actually, they do think I'm actually pretty put together, I think. But financial, I never heard of and very important. So let's talk about each one of these and kind of break them down a little bit. And let's just start with the easy one, right? Everybody hears about physical fitness, and it's probably the one that most people talk about and how it's important. And changes all the time. Mm-hmm. So what is it that is important around physical fitness? So I think about, personally, strength, cardio, flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think about, and what do you want women over 40 to be thinking about, and where do we like mess it up?
I think, you know, before we continue, I think in the physical part, I would put exercise,
okay,
right? Nutrition,
okay,
sleep, which sleep. I do believe like we need to talk about sleep,
okay,
if we're talking about wellness and health. And I mean, you can put there stress as well, mm-hmm, right? Because it's physical, because it's, I mean, stress is the response that your body does, you know, when you have a stimulus. It could be a thought, it could be an accident, whatever it is. So, okay, let's start with exercise, right?
Okay.
Exercise, I think, is one of the best medicine that there is, right? And you know, if you, and we don't have to talk about this, but if you go to the blue zones where people live longer, mm-hmm, one of the things that they discover why is because they're moving all the time.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I do believe it's very important for when we turn 30 years old, mm-hmm, Michelle, we start losing muscle mass. So strength, we have to include, and I'm not going to say we have to, but we get to include.
Right.
We're blessed that we can do that because, you know, we're walking, we can move, and a strength would be take either your body weight or weights to do strength exercises. Mm-hmm. I've been starting practicing calisthenics, which is, oh my God, it's kind of challenging, but it's like moving several things that I didn't know I could move. But I'm big in weights. I don't do them as much as I did them maybe 15 years ago.
Okay.
But I do a lot of body weight, right? So two or three times a week, mm-hmm, strength exercises. Then you talk about cardio. One thing, you know, so we start losing muscle mass when we're 30.
Okay.
But then because of menopause, right? And we talked about it before. Yeah. But because of menopause, what happened in menopause, which is, it could be a long period, right? Actually, after we get perimenopause, we're in postmenopause for the rest of our life. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, if we're 100 years old, 50, no menopause, 50, menopause.
Yeah.
So when we have this transition in life, our hormones, they just start fluctuating. And the thing is that estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, they go down. That's what happens. But estrogen is very important for bone health, cardio health, like everything. So this is one of the reasons for us women is more important because we lose bone density as well because of estrogen levels.
Yep.
So when you include strength, I mean, you have like 50% of the bottle, the battle won, right? And I'm sorry, sometimes my English is like Sofia Vergara in Modern Family.
Oh, but that's a good thing.
Okay. And I'm just gonna, like, you know, if for everybody that is listening to us, I sound really, really smart in Spanish. I'm gonna tell you that, just like she said to her family.
I'm sorry, but I think you sound very smart in English.
Okay, that's
so
good.
You're doing, yeah, this is super fun. No. So what you're saying is, and I also do lift weights, and I'm, so you're petite. I'm very small person as well. So I've been always concerned about it, right? Losing bone density, and I'm a runner as well. But that strength training, I think, is very important because you're right, you lose it. And so I am a believer, and I think that it's a true fact.
Mm-hmm.
So I am, you know, in my 50s and I am past menopause. I went into menopause early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was not a it was shocking for me as young as I was, but it wasn't a difficult thing. I will say that I was pretty fortunate, but, it was still shocking. But then I immediately started worrying about, you know, bone density and all these other things from being small as well as being in menopause. Mm-hmm. And I'm very intact, you know, but I do work it. And it doesn't take a lot, does it?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I mean, and And I'm sorry, Michelle, you were going to say something and I interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
No, but you know, it doesn't have to take, you know, 3 hours.
Right.
I used to work out 3 hours a day, but because I felt lonely. So I would go to the gym because I felt lonely. Now I don't feel lonely anymore. I should be feeling lonely so I can go to the gym more. But I mean, I was lacking some of the things in my life. So for me, exercise, you know, I was going to the gym. I was meeting people. So for me, and I like my trainer. So, you know,
it worked
pretty well, but it doesn't have to take long. But one of the things that I do, and I promise, like when you change, if you want to change something, mm-hmm. change your environment. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you ever read Atomic Habits from James Clear.
Yes. Okay.
That's an amazing book. So one of the things that has worked for me and for my clients, work on your environment. Yes. So for example, for the exercise part, I have a mini trampoline, like in the middle of the hallway. So every time I have to, you know, go to the, to my bedroom or something, I jump and then I keep going. Then I have 3 different sets of weights.
Yep.
And I have bands. Right. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm part of the Lola. It's a co-working space for women.
Yep.
And sometimes when I go there, I'm sitting down more. So I bring my bands and I just open and close my legs. And I'm, you know, I'm working.
Right.
Because in my house, change your environment. I bought a stand-up desktop.
Yes. Yeah. I have one too.
You do too? Yeah. So you can do small things that are going to have a big impact in your life.
Right.
So, and, you know, cardio, it's also important to do. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of cardio. Like, I think for women, for older adults, like the first cause of death is cardiovascular disease.
It is. So I was just talking to a doctor about this very recently. And what they told me was that more women, one woman dies every 80 seconds in the United States and of cardiac arrest. Like, who knew? And they also said that worldwide that more women die of cancer than the top 5 cancers. More women die of cardiac arrest than the top 5 cancers combined.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Well, it's because of estrogen levels, right? So estrogen also protects your heart. Mm. So the lining gets thinner. And this is one of the reasons, right, that we need to, like, if we do cardio, we're oxygenating our, you know, our heart and we're making it stronger.
Right.
And, you know, there's so many things that we can do, but definitely do that. I mean, even like jumping jacks, like do 100 jumping jacks, you know, whatever you can. And it doesn't, you don't have to do it for an hour, but maybe if you take little breaks, if you're working, and that also helps.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe something that I love about physical activity, like go into nature to walk. That's beautiful because not only you're exercising, right, but you're close to nature.
Yes.
And that helps you to relax. That releases oxytocin in your body. It calms you down. So it's like you're doing 3 things in one, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think one of the big takeaway messages are for people that think it's really daunting around the physical exercise. I'm like you. I used to exercise like a couple of hours or a few hours, but at one time. But it doesn't have to be that much. Mm-hmm. If I've got 30 minutes, if I've got 45 minutes, you know, I just think it's around consistency. Mm-hmm. And I hear you around moving. I was told once, this is really funny, so maybe this is why I'm in good shape. I'm not sure. I was told by someone that came over our house, and he was talking to me, and he said, it was my best friend's husband. He said, Michelle, I have known you over 20 years, and I swear, I never see you sit down. Like, can you just come here and sit down and talk to me? So I like talking, but I'm also doing things, right? It could be with our best friends, right? It might even be sewing, but I'm always moving. And I have a hard time just sitting because I don't know, I just, It's just part of my thing, mm-hmm. I guess. But I think movement is really important.
It's so important.
Yeah.
And again, it's simple. Like, I don't know, if you like to watch Netflix or whatever, sometimes I bring my trampoline into the room. I'm like, okay, Janita, you can watch TV. Yes, you're allowed. But not for 3 hours without doing anything. It doesn't mean that I don't, you know, I just lay down and watch TV. I do that too.
Right.
But sometimes, I mean, I love Apple Watch because it tells me like I'm not hitting my goal yet. And my goal is 60 minutes a day. Yep. And it doesn't matter if I don't do it the whole time, you know, like just 1 hour. But okay, so I'm going to see, a 20-minute episode of whatever.
Right.
Which I have seen several times. Okay, Janita, you can do it, but you're going to jump 20 minutes.
So you asked me, we had a question about, so I have two daughters, and they're in their early 20s, and I told you that they think I'm just crazy, right? So one of the things would be, we will watch movies together when we do, like, and here comes mom, because my time is, you know, it's very limited.
Yeah.
And so I'll just do lunges or I'll have some light weights and I'm doing some exercise. And they're like, mom is doing her calisthenics when we're just trying to watch a movie. But the priceless one was, so I do take my children, I would take them to like the midnight movie. So we go to the movies one night and I had three children and we were the only ones. It was so fun. Mm-hmm. It was like so great. I'm like, this is like a private showing. So of course I get out in the aisle and I'm doing lunges and I'm doing, you know, some jumping jacks and just a few things, right? And all of a sudden my daughter, I hear her, mom. I'm like, what? There's some real creepy guy sitting in the back. And I look back and he was not a creepy guy, but I'm sure it was someone wondering, what is this woman doing? And stretching and lunging in the movie theater? So wherever you can do it.
Yeah. I mean, again, it doesn't take too long. So, yeah.
So let's talk about emotional well-being.
Emotional well-being. Okay, so I have to, when we talk about emotional well-being, we talk about our feelings and our emotions and what we feel, right? And when we understand what we're feeling, when we're feeling it, what are our triggers, and how we can manage that, that's something that clicks, right? And I heard, I don't know if it was Tony Robbins, he said, like, the quality of your life depends on the quality of the questions that you ask. So I ask myself a lot. Like, if I'm feeling, I think it was like a month ago, I didn't want to do anything during the weekend.
Yeah.
And I was just, Michelle, like a mommy in my bed watching TV. Like, I didn't feel like I wanted to do anything. And I started asking myself, like, why? Why are you feeling this way? Why are you sad? And, I mean, it's not only menopause, for sure, but it has to do with all the changes that, you know, I'm experiencing in my life. I came here 3 years ago again, and I'm building my life, doing something different.
Right.
And it's challenging. I'm not going to say it's tough, because sometimes I think those words are, I don't know, like bad, not bad words, but are negative words. I want to say challenging. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes a lot to build a business, to be creative, to put yourself out there, to leave your comfort zone. So I have all these emotions all the time, but I have learned how to manage my emotion. And that's what emotional intelligence is, right?
Hey, yeah.
So I'm a person, I don't get mad that much. You know, if you do something to me, I don't say, oh, Michelle did this to me, or Michelle yelled at me.
Yeah.
I'm like, Michelle, yell. Maybe I'm a very empathetic person, so I understand that maybe you're going through something, right? Yeah. And maybe you yell, not at me. I've learned not to take things personally. Mm. So that calms me down, because I don't see you as a threat. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just life. So when you start working on how to manage your emotions, you get better at it, and life is just much better, because you don't get angry so much. You don't get that maybe not that happy, like ecstatic. I mean, you are, but you understand that everything in life passes. You understand,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you know, nothing is eternal. Like, if I'm sad, I know I'm not going to be sad forever. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have, you know, I have mechanism and tools that I use all the time. I breathe a lot, you know, if I'm feeling angry, which I don't feel that much, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm feeling sad because uncertainty sometimes is like, okay, so what am I doing with my life? Like, am I gonna, you know, I'm not married and I'm 51. I'm not getting, this is what we think. I'm not getting any younger. I'm getting the wrinkles, the menopause belly. I don't know. Like, am I gonna find somebody? And sometimes I feel like that, but then I think, okay, Danita, you know, you're living such an amazing time right now. You're guiding women. You're creating so much stuff. You're giving people hope. And maybe this is the time to work on your purpose. And once you are ready, you know, that person is going to come into your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like he's going to be knocking at my door. I need to go out. But so I calm myself down. And when I do that, nothing is that bad or nothing is that good, because I know it can go either way. So, you know, exercise helps me with dealing with emotions, meditation. I meditate every single day, walking in nature, hugging trees, I don't know, and being grateful, which is, I think grateful, like gratitude is most of the underrated, you know, medicine as well, just like not like exercise, but you know, if we are more grateful, it's hard to feel bad when you're grateful. That's it.
Oh, that's very well said. So talk to me a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about meditation, because I'm not a good one for that. It's like some of the things you're saying are really resonating with me. I find that I have a high degree of patience at work. Mm-hmm. At least I think I do, with the people that I work with. And I really am focused on them and making sure that they are that they have what they need to be the best that they can be. And I find that I'm good in that environment. Mm-hmm. I find I'm less patient in some personal situations, right? And so I'm trying to, you know, I'm always trying to think about, okay, put it in its place. You know, how do you, when you have triggers, and it might be a trigger from a person, or it might, you know, from something that's sad, or and something that's very frustrating. And how do you coach people and help them understand how they can be better in control of that emotion? You know, I think I'm really good until I'm not.
Until you get home and your
it's
husband.
It's usually bigger than that, right? Yeah. So it's something around, it's usually something around, you know, I don't want to call out my poor kids because they're so fabulous, but, you know, when someone has an opinion that is right, wrong, or indifferent, I think everyone's entitled to their opinion. But when it's like my way or the highway kind of thing, and you're trying to help them understand why it's not necessarily like that, for example, that can trigger me. There are certain things that will, and then I just, the Irish comes out, right? And so I want the Irish woman to be in her place, right? I mean, I love the joviality that comes with that and the outgoing personality, but I don't like the temper that goes with it. So, and I know, and I hear a lot about meditation. I'm not that good at it. Like, I don't know what you do. I don't really know how to do it.
I think you do, because you're a runner, and I'm sure you meditate while you run. But okay, so let's.
Oh, interesting. I'm thinking I have to be like in a quiet space room, and running is very good for me.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, usually runners are very, okay. So meditation is a practice of being mindful, right? Or of mindfulness, I'm sorry. So being mindful means being in the present moment, right? And in today's fast-paced life that we live, I have found that people are not in the present moment, right? So when you're in the present moment, again, you're not thinking about the future, which gets you anxious, right? Or you're not thinking about the past, which can make you longing, like, I don't know, like,
yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna go back to data, right?
Okay.
We have 60,000 thoughts a day.
Wow.
That's a lot of thoughts, yeah. Right? So we're all the time thinking, and 90% of them, according to research, right, 90% of them are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Wow.
So we're thinking the same thing, Michelle, all the time. And 80% of them are negative. So it's not like I'm thinking, wow. Oh, you know, my life is going to be so beautiful when I find somebody. I'm thinking negative, like, am I going to find somebody? You know, I'm like crying, like, really? I don't want to end up alone, which it could, it's not that bad. But anyway, right? Or I'm thinking about the past. Why did I marry this guy? I could have married another one. Or why didn't I start my business before? Or
yeah.
So we go from the future to the past to the future, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is that we're 95% subconscious and 5% conscious. So it's very hard. If you want to change your life, you have to change what you think.
Wow.
I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. So the way you think determines the way you feel, because every thought is associated with that emotion, right? Mm-hmm. And the way you feel determines the way you act, the things that you do. And the way you act determines your life, your future, everything. So if I'm thinking all the time, 80% of the time, negative thoughts, how am I going to feel? Sad, angry, envious, whatever it is, right? Just, you know, like negative emotions. And what am I going to do? Maybe nothing, or maybe yell at people or something. Mm-hmm. So once you're aware, which is not that easy, why? Because we're just 5% conscious. And if I tell you, okay, so I mean, do you need to think about how to brush your teeth or how to make coffee? No, you're doing everything in automatic, right? You're not thinking about it. You're not aware of it. If you're not aware of what you think, how are you going to change it? But the more in the present moment that you are, like tools like breathing, meditation, running, walking in nature, the more you're in the present moment, the more if you caught yourself thinking about that you're angry because you went home and something happened, bring yourself back to the present moment, which is the only moment that you can do something, right? You cannot do anything in the future. You cannot do anything in the past. You can do things in the present moment. The more you're here, the better you're going to feel.
Yeah.
So, you know, you were talking before about the situations that get out of control, that the Irish woman, just like the crazy bitch, comes to your life. Okay, so breathe in and breathe out 3 times. And I promise you, just because you're breathing, you're giving less power to the emotion that you feel.
Yeah.
Just by breathing. So that's it. Then do not blame the other person. Don't take yourself like the victim, because the victim means that it's somebody else's fault.
Yep.
No, I mean, you know, 10% are the things that happen to us, and 90% is how we react to it.
That's right.
And that moment, we have a choice. And then the third thing, I would say boundaries. You know, it took me a long time, and I'm still working on boundaries. And I think, you know, women were more prone to, okay, if somebody says, oh, can you do this for me? Yeah, sure. And I've learned, ever since I came back here 3 years ago and seeing my friends and how they prioritize their families, and maybe because I was single and I didn't have kids. So if somebody would say, hey, can you do this for me? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But when you're saying yes to somebody else, you're saying no to yourself. And you're not going to feel good. And that is a trigger in most people. So boundaries are important.
Wow, that's very interesting. And I think you're right. I don't think women give themselves enough space on that. So I'll tell you, I'm going to give a shout out to my youngest daughter, Katie, because she just this week. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, by the way, I should clarify, I'm not much of a yeller or anything. I'll get anxious, right? Yeah. But she came in. So we were doing our holiday party here at Sales Globe. You know, I'm a partner here at a consulting firm. And we had people flying in from across the country. It was a lot of work getting things all together. And I'm running late. I'm always running late.
Why?
That's a real problem. I'm working on that because it's a problem. You know, I get up really early in the morning. I am constantly doing, you know, like I'm working all day long, but for whatever reason. So now I'm running late. And my daughter comes walking in the house. And now I've probably got 15 minutes to get me together, right? The house is together. The food is, or the catering order is there. Like the cake is there. Everything is there, but not me. And so I'm like, oh my God. And she stopped me. And she's, and I did this, both my girls, from the time they were very little. And she said to me, Mom, stop. Breathe three times. Mm-hmm. And we just stood there. I said, thank you, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Now you can help me with my ponytail. Mm-hmm. And she helped me get ready. And I was out the door and I got 15 beautiful minutes with her. So anyway, yeah, so it's really important. When you think about mental fitness, mm-hmm. you mentioned part of it's emotional. You mentioned stress. You mentioned sleep. Or is that in the physical?
I would say physical.
Physical.
And, you know, nutrition and sleep. And let's talk about it just for a moment.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel when you don't sleep? How do you feel?
Ugh, I don't feel like I'm a little bit flat. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm as productive.
Right.
I definitely don't feel, you know, as energetic. Mm-hmm. And then I've got as much to give to others. Mm-hmm. I will say that if I don't have a good night's sleep.
So most likely cranky.
I wouldn't say cranky, but no.
Where's the Irish woman when you need it? Yes, please, cranky.
Yes, cranky. Well, cranky.
So, I mean, not in a very good mood.
Right.
You don't have lots of energy.
No.
You're not focused.
Yep.
So productivity goes down. So a lot of things are going on.
Yep.
When we sleep, Michelle, things happen, right? Memory goes to the hippocampus. So you develop more memory if you sleep better. Hormone regulation. Your body synthesizes protein, which we need, right, to build muscles, to repair and growth. A lot of things are going on when we sleep. So we do need to sleep. And sleep is not a luxury. It's a necessity.
Yeah.
If you want to have a better life, if you want to thrive, if you want to be focused, sleep 8 hours if you can, between 7 and 9 hours. And I do hear a lot with, you know, from friends or people that, I just need 5 hours. I mean, study over study, it tells you that you're not going to thrive with that little, right?
I know, because I was a 5 hour for decades.
Oh, really?
And I'm pushing to get 6 to 7. I really am focused on it. But what is it? What happens when people are sleep deprived?
Well,
like what happens to them?
Just
physically?
like I mentioned to you. Okay, one of the things your immune system goes down. Like it doesn't shut off, but it's not thriving and it's not working and it should, right? And what that happens, you get sicker. That it is it's a fact, right? When you sleep, something happens in your body, and it's called repair and growth. Right.
Okay.
So tissue repairs and, you know, the muscles, you don't get muscles from going to the gym. You get muscles when you sleep.
Mm.
That's when you get the muscle.
Oh, that's,
I mean, you know, you're working on your muscle, but it grows at night when you sleep. So, and we just said that you're losing muscle mass each year after you're 30 years old.
Yep.
So you need to sleep to build that. So it is important. You know, you're more at risk of dementia, of Alzheimer's, if you don't sleep
because of
cognitive dysfunction, right? Decline. So, yes, it is important. And I remember, I think it was like 5 years ago, I read Arianna Huffington book.
Yeah.
It's called Thrive. And she talks about four different measures of, you know, thriving in life. And she talks about wellness, of course. And one of the things, and I usually, when I think about it, Bill Clinton, he used to say that he didn't need any sleep when he was president. Mm-hmm. And I mean, now he's a vegetarian. He has done like many changes in his life. And he has a quote and he said, every time I made a mistake, I made it because I was tired or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't sleep. So you right. cannot make, you know, good decisions when you sleep. I mean, when you don't sleep, where you're sleep deprived. And last year when I got my certificate from the Dr. Daniel Amen University, yes. the Amen University, one of the things that they talk, it's about sleep as well. And he mentioned this study about shooters, right? Mm-hmm. And how accurate they were. So if they slept 8 hours or 7 hours, it was 90% or something. But 1 hour less, just 1 hour less, Michelle, 54%.
Oh my gosh, one hour.
1 hour. So,
wow.
I mean, you know.
It's a tough one because when you think about, you know, and I'm not alone, right? You mm-hmm. you would fall into this busy professional. I've got a business I'm running during the day. I've got a podcast. I've got, mm-hmm. you know, my physical health I'm mm-hmm. you know, focused on. I like to go to the gym. I've got kids, although albeit grown, I still have time mm-hmm. with them. And I have older parents, so my mother lives mm-hmm. with us. Mm-hmm. And I go to visit my dad up in New York regularly. He's mm-hmm. 90 now. So there's a lot of pull, yeah. a lot of different things. And so I did a couple things. I'd love to hear what you have to say, like to help me go to sleep. And so I like to be holistic. So just a few things that mm-hmm. I do. Years ago, I stopped bringing my laptop or any computer mm-hmm. upstairs. That's where all mm-hmm. the bedrooms are. So it just doesn't come up mm-hmm. with me. And I go to bed and I'll read. So I go to bed, not when I'm going to sleep, but I'll read. And that's the only time I'll read will be before sleep. Because okay. then, you know, if it's a great book, I'm all excited. But here's the problem. A really good book, I'll look and it'll be 2 a.m. and I'm still reading because it's too good. So I have stacks of books on my nightstand. In fact, I do an annual thing on what's on my nightstand. And I always have a couple of like real sleepers mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, there. Yeah. And I'll pick up a book. And then if it's just too good, I'll pick up something else. Mm-hmm. And it might even put me to sleep, mm-hmm. right? And I'm out. But I read. I'll put, you know, I do a dimmer light, mm-hmm. you know, so it's yeah. not as bright. Try to keep the electronics out. Because mm-hmm. I hear from people that it's hard for them to go to sleep and then stay asleep. Now, I'm fortunate. I don't mm-hmm. wake up in the night. I sleep through. Mm-hmm. But I do wake up like it. 5:30, whether my alarm is set or not, mm-hmm. and for the most part, whether I go to bed at 10 or 12, mm-hmm. you know, but what have you found gives you a good night's sleep? How do you go to sleep?
One of the gadgets that I bought this year, because yeah. I saw it from Dave Asprey, he's huge okay. in biohacking,
yeah.
you know, and he got some blue light blocking glasses. Mm-hmm. So I wear them at least 2 hours or 3 hours before I go to bed.
Oh, very good. Okay.
And I don't have a problem to like sleep.
Yeah.
Like I go to bed and I've had these problems before. So before I would love, I love just to wake up and see my, you know, my trees yeah. and everything. Yeah. But I decided just because everything that you read about sleep is like you need blackouts, mm-hmm. right? So you really do need a very black environment. Then I sleep either with a fan or cooler, you know, AC, mm-hmm. because I think it's like you need to be like 1 Fahrenheit degree less than your body.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, that's something important. Yep. So I usually sleep with 68, 69 degrees.
Okay.
So it's cooler and makes me sleep better. And the glasses are very cool because the thing is that our body starts producing melatonin.
Right.
So every time we have the blue light, and the blue light is what electronics have, right?
Okay.
The TV, the computer, the iPad, the iPhone, whatever you have, right? It has blue light. So we're able to see all the colors. And that stops producing melatonin in your body. And melatonin is the hormone that helps you sleep. mm-hmm. or, you know, go back to, go to sleep.
Yep.
So that's something that I really, really like. And then, you know, like the dimmer lights, actually I turn off the lights. But if I'm watching TV, I don't read in at night. I should, I don't. But I'm wearing my glasses while I watch.
Oh, that's great.
TV. Yeah.
Yep, I think that's
so that's
great.
Something important.
Yep. So I exercise when I'm watching TV. I think that's pretty funny. Hey, it's Michelle. Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoy our podcast and know someone who you believe would make a great guest, I would love to hear from you. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's talk. I'd love to hear your feedback. And as always, may it inspire you in your own personal and professional journey of life. Thank you.